Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I want to welcome you who are worshiping with us at Tiburon, there at that golf course, and those of you who are at our Fremont campus, glad you are here. This is going to be a very special day in the life of our church. And so, therefore, I want to give you a special invitation, especially you who are on other campuses as well as this campus, that you need to plan on coming back tonight at 7 o'clock because we're going to have another meeting together. It will be very, very powerful. Well, today, I have the wonderful privilege of introducing to you Michael and Jan Gott. Jan, why don't you wave your hand there? Welcome, Jan, here today with us. Well, you're so excited, 8 o'clock people. Okay, I know you're going to be doing a whole lot better at Tiburon and at Fremont as well. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to welcome my friend Michael Gott. Michael has been in evangelism for, well, multiple decades. Let me just say that. I met Michael in the 70s. Man, that's a long time ago. And he has faithfully preached the Word of God all over not only the United States, but internationally. In fact, last night they flew in from Hungary, where Michael had been preaching, and they're only here in the United States for a couple of weeks, and then they go back to the Ukraine in the 1st of December. Michael's message is very clear and very plain, and I look forward to what God is going to do to speak a word very clearly to not only our church, but to all of us. Why don't you welcome my friend, Michael Gott. Preach it, Michael.
Good morning to all of you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here, and just let me tell you about my situation and your situation today. Do you know what jet lag is like? I heard Billy Graham talking about a man who was dealing with jet lag, and he dreamed that he was preaching and woke up and was. Now listen to me. This church has made a tremendous impact on our life. We spend about one half out of every year outside the United States preaching in places where there is open hostility against the person of Jesus Christ, or there has been at least traditionally over the years. Hungary, we just come home from there, was once part of the Soviet bloc. And if you've watched the news at all, you know why we will be going back to Ukraine, because they're suffering on their borders with an insurgence from Russia, and it's a crisis there. So we go to places like that and preach Jesus Christ. And you make it possible for us to do this. We are an extension of the total ministry of this church. And so I'm standing here deeply indebted to you. Now I admit to you that I'm a little bit overdressed today. Let me tell you why. Starting last Sunday, I preached twice. Monday, I spoke three times. Tuesday, I spoke three times. Wednesday, in Hungary, I spoke three times. Thursday, I spoke three times. Almost everything I have is dirty. And I'm down to this suit and this tie, and if you come to the motel room where we're staying, it looks like Little Havana, with all of our clothes hanging up. And so we had to kind of wash after we arrived. And we only got here yesterday at around, say, 3:30, 4 o'clock, and went to bed last night at just after supper at 6. And so this is the beginning of a new day with you with tremendous potential. And I want to talk to you about tonight. You know what's happened in France. You know about this immigrant problem, and we've just come from home from Hungary where they've had it on their borders. If ever there's been a time when a Christian needed to be a world Christian and understand how that the message we're preaching and the work that we're doing has an immediate impact on the world, it's today. And so when you come back tonight, I hope to be able to speak not as an observer at a distance, but a participant in some of these great world events and tell you how that you and this church can be directly involved in advancing the cause of Christ in this day in which we live. But let's talk about now. Whether you're on this campus or other campuses, you've come today, some of you have come with friends. And you've walked in here with as many questions, spiritual questions, as you have answers. And for some of you, it's been maybe yes and maybe no. And if there is anything that you need to do in your life, it's to nail things down personally. And that's part of the reason why I've been invited to come in. Because I'm not a great theologian. I'm not a profound Bible teacher. I'm an evangelist. Now, what is an evangelist? An evangelist is a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. And I'm standing before you not as a celebrity, but as a servant of Jesus Christ who for the last, listen to this, it's amazing even to me, for the last 50 years has averaged preaching about one time a day, every day, and most of the time I'm talking to everyday people about how Jesus Christ can be more real in their life than he's ever been before. And so if you find my message simple, you'll understand why. I'm not trying to impress you with vocabulary or learning. I'm trying to help you take a step that will settle everything for you, because an encounter with Christ will do exactly that. Now look, I'm going to read from the New Testament, from the book of Mark. And it's one of the most interesting passages of Scripture. It's also very familiar to a lot of people. I'll tell you why. Because it tells a story about a man who comes running to Jesus. He sensed there was something unique about Jesus Christ. And he fell down before him on his knees. And he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a pretty significant question, and that's your question. There's not a single one of you who would not like to live forever in God's favor. So this passage comes from Mark chapter 10, and it begins in verse 17, and it continues to verse 23. So let's continue to read. Jesus asked him, "Why do you call me good?" This fellow was trying to be politically correct. He didn't really know Jesus Christ, but he thought, at least I'll say the right thing, or what seems to be the right thing. Jesus answered and said, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony or witness. And you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And then listen to the conversation. "Teacher," he declares, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Lift your eyes and look here for a moment. "I don't have any doubt that your good is greater than your bad. The worst of us in this building, if someone were to summarize your life, your good excels your bad. And yet that does not undercut the fact that we've sinned, that we need God, and that our sins separate us from God. Now look at the next words. They are very, very significant. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Can you imagine what it would be like to have the loving look of Jesus Christ concentrating on you as if you were the most important person in the world? Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him with his eyes. And listen to the words of Jesus Christ. One thing you lack. Say those words with me out loud. One thing you lack. Now listen to this unforgettable story. A couple of years ago, I was invited to speak in the eastern part of America. And it was going to be a citywide evangelism event, a crusade. And I flew into Atlanta, and there was terrible turbulence along the East Coast, and the flight was delayed and then delayed again, and it looked like that I wasn't even going to get there on the first night on time. But at last, they gave clearance, and I arrived in a Carolina city. And when I got off the plane, the crusade director said, "Michael, get your bags as quickly as you can. I'll be waiting for you out front. The building is packed out and they're singing extra songs and you're just gonna have to be ready to just walk in and speak. I'm sorry, but we've got to do it that way." Well, as we pulled out of the airport, I said to him, "Tell me who's gonna be there tonight." And almost glancing just for an instant, while he was driving through the barricade, he said to me, "A lot of people who have unfinished business with God." And almost every time I stand up to speak, including today, there are a lot of people who have unfinished business with God, like this man. Jesus spoke to him after hearing him say, "I've tried to be religious, I've tried to do the right things, I've taken steps in the right direction," and yet Jesus Christ said to him, "One thing thou lackest." It wasn't that he had never started. You cannot say you've just started your religious pilgrimage today. It's been going on for years, just like this man. But the fact is that Jesus Christ, if he were standing here speaking now, would say to you, "One thing thou lackest." One thing is missing. You need to take a final step. And that's the reason I've been invited to come in here. Because this church has reached out to people like you and me, who need to take a final step that settles everything. That's where you are, in the same situation that he was in. So I want you to note three things very quickly. First, what this man detected. The moment that he encountered Jesus Christ, he realized Jesus Christ loved him. And I want you to understand that Jesus Christ loves you. And he looked at him with a look of love. And that's the way that Christ looks at you. I want you to note two things about that. Listen carefully. Number one, he detected that Jesus Christ wanted him, that he was valuable. And you should detect today that Jesus Christ wants you. He's not turned his back on you. He cares about you. He wants you to be a part of the kingdom. He welcomes you. He knows the worst thing you've ever done. And yet he loves you because his love is greater than your sin. And so that's the first thing you will notice, the attention that Jesus gave him. And in this moment, Jesus Christ is giving you his attention. When Jesus Christ looked at him in that moment, it was as if he was not only the only person in the world, but the most important person in the world. Jesus loved him with that spirit. And Jesus loves you with that spirit. But then secondly, notice the intention that Jesus had for him. He didn't say, well, I don't have room for you to be one of my followers. Jesus Christ speaks about God's love. And God's love says, it is not the will of God for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So that God has included you in his plan, and that is the intention that God has for you. But then, secondly, consider this, what he discovered. And once again, when he stood before Christ and looked up into his eyes, he realized that there was something that was vitally important. And I want you to note two things. This is what he discovered. He discovered that God knew all about him. He wasn't telling Jesus something that Jesus didn't know. And he realized that Jesus Christ understood him. And his heart, and his soul, and his spirit. I know you, Jesus could say to you. I know all about you. I'm the Lord. I can read people's hearts. God does not look upon a man without seeing his heart. And you have to respect and appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ knows exactly who you are, exactly the life that you've lived. There is not one secret that you have before him. And this man did not have any secrets as he stood before Christ. And that's how you appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ knew him and loved him. And even though Jesus Christ was sinless and this man had tried to live the best life he could but had fallen short, Jesus Christ still valued him. But then there's a second thing, and it's this. Not only how to appreciate what Jesus Christ said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't say compliments. He didn't brag on him. He didn't say, well, congratulations, you're in the kingdom of God. He didn't say that. He said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ knows you, and he knows that step that you need to take. And so while he spoke to him truthfully, Jesus Christ didn't say more than was true about him. He said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And I wonder how many of you are in exactly that condition. Jesus Christ would say the same thing to you. There's a final step that you need to take because you've got unfinished business with me. And so how do we apply these words? Well, for example, Jesus said, if you're not willing to confess me before men on earth, I will not confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about your private faith becoming a public declaration. How many of you have never openly given your life to Christ? Maybe there was some kind of decision you made as a child or as a baby, but as a thinking adult, you've never come openly to him. Every single person Jesus Christ called in the New Testament, he called upon them to do something publicly to indicate that they had responded to him privately. In a moment, Dr. Dodd is going to tell you how to do that. But your private faith must have a public declaration. Listen to Jesus. If you're not willing to confess me before men on earth, I will not confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But there was more. When you talk about unfinished business with God, you know and I know that while you may have never made a public profession of your faith in Christ, there's even a question as to whether you put your faith in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. What does that mean? It means you come to the place to say, Jesus Christ, you're the only hope I've got. If you don't get me to heaven, I will never ever get there. And if you don't forgive my sins, they will never ever be forgiven. Have you come to Jesus Christ with that kind of understanding? But I can tell you another thing. It is very interesting that when Jesus started preaching, he came to the Jordan River and he said to that prophet, John the Baptist, who was preaching out in that wilderness, baptize me. And John was an humble person and he said, I'm not even worthy to unloose the straps on your sandals, much less baptize you. And Jesus said, John, I command you to baptize me. Listen why. Because I want all of my true followers to do this. When you talk about unfinished business with God, I can tell you another area where some of you have unfinished business. You've never been baptized like the Bible teaches. And yet Jesus said, I want all of my true followers to do this. Listen to Jesus. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And will not do what I say do the way I say do it. A person stands in the water. They're put beneath the water, lifted out of the water. What does that say? I once lived a selfish, sinful life. I died to that old way of life, and I've risen to a new life in Christ. It also says, I believe that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again for me. We've been singing about it. Now, have you ever been baptized like the Bible teaches? Buried with him in baptism as a confession of your faith in Jesus Christ? If you've never done that, you've got unfinished business with God. But I can think of another area. On this campus or on the other two campuses, I wonder how many of you attend this church with a deep affection for what this church is doing, but you've never become a part of it. Jesus died for the church. And while you've said, well, I respect the church, have you ever aligned yourself with the church? Now, Michael, that's such a little thing. I'm glad you brought that up. Because listen to what Jesus said. If you will be faithful in the small things, I will give you authority over the great things. And you're losing the battle of life because you're trivializing some of the things that Jesus said about faithfulness, about commitment, about belonging. And as an evangelist traveling all over the world, if you were to say to me, what is one of the things that you've noticed that causes people who were once active Christians to drift away from God? Let me tell you what it is. An inactive church membership. And if you will come and renew your allegiance to Jesus Christ, I guarantee you he will give you authority over the great things. But you will never have spiritual authority as long as you have unfinished business with God. Obedience is not a small thing. A door swings on something very small, hinges. But how could it swing without the hinges? And small acts of obedience causes the door of God's blessings to swing open to you. And if you want to know why they're closed, it's because you have not been explicitly obedient. That's unfinished business with God. And you put it off and thought about it, and Satan has taken advantage of those delays, because here's what you need to know. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Say it with me. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, what if you were going to be explicitly obedient to Jesus Christ? What would you do today about publicly confessing your faith in Christ? What would you do about making sure that He lives in your heart? What would you do about being obedient related to baptism or this matter of church membership? Unfinished business with God. Are you telling me that you can't identify with someone who gets close and so close, and yet Jesus says to you, and maybe to you, one thing is missing? And today He's calling you to respond. He's pointed out that one missing area. And come back to Him, and come to Him, and start over with Him. That's what He's calling for. And then finally, what this man decided. Now notice what Jesus said to him. He said, you've got a lot of money. Go out and sell that stuff. Well, is He saying to every one of us, before we can be His follower, we've got to sell everything? No, not exactly. He's not saying that. Well, let me tell you what He's saying. I know what's first place in your life, and it's not me. Your accumulated wealth is far more in control of your life than I am. Jesus Christ was pointing out the area where He was not allowed to be the Lord. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a multiple choice. He is Lord of all, and He desires to be first place in your life. And so Jesus Christ gives him a direct invitation. That's what He's doing to you today. He's giving you a direct invitation. Come, follow me, sell out to me, surrender your all to me without reservations. That's the call of Christ today. But not only was there a direct invitation, there was a drastic refusal. Notice what the man did. He turned and walked away from Jesus, a rejection of Jesus Christ. And you can do that. You can say, not now, later. That's a rejection of the invitation of Christ. Jesus is inviting you now, not tomorrow, not next week. He's saying, respond to me now. All that you have to do to say no is to do nothing, for no decision is a no decision. But that man turned his back upon Jesus and walked away. Look, listen, I pour my soul out to you. We never hear from this man again. It was a pivotal moment. And he said no in his heart. It was a disastrous rejection. A very direct invitation was met with a disastrous rejection. This is a direct invitation. Come to Jesus Christ just as you are. If you will lay your life at His feet, He will take you in His arms. That is the direct invitation. Listen to Jesus. If you will come to me, I will not turn you away. Listen to Jesus. If you will open the door, I will come in. There is not only an invitation, there's a promise with the invitation. Come to him, he won't turn you away. Open the door, he will come in. But listen, look. The man said, no, not now. The man said, I don't think so. On one occasion, when the gospel was preached to someone, he said, I'll call for you again at a more convenient season. We never hear from that man again. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. And this is the moment when Jesus Christ has stood before you with an invitation to surrender your all to him. And I want to say it again, not to be monotonous, but for emphasis. Not to decide is to decide not to. And all that you have to do to be against him is to stay like you are. But today, there is a response that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. And it's the very response Dr. Dodd is going to speak to you about. For a moment, just for a moment, would you close your eyes and bow your head, and the next voice that you will hear will be God's man, the pastor of this church, telling you how to make this commitment.
With your heads bowed and your hearts open before God, if indeed you know right now that you have unfinished business with Jesus, that you have never taken the step toward him, you've never turned from your sin and placed your faith in Christ, then right now make this your prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit to you I am a sinner. I'm in desperate need of your forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that you died for me on the cross, shed your blood to cover all my sin, and you rose again from the dead. Would you come and take total charge of me and live within me and make me yours and cleanse me of my sin forever and ever? I give you willingly all my life. Right now, in Jesus' name I pray. Maybe you've already prayed that prayer and you remember a moment where you turned from sin and placed your faith in Christ, but maybe God is speaking to you about some other things. Maybe you haven't publicly identified with Christ in baptism. Maybe you've not identified to connect with a church. Maybe there is something that he's telling you to do, whether it's financially, emotionally, relationally. And as his child, maybe your prayer just needs to be this day, Jesus, please forgive me for delaying what I know in my heart you want me to do. I willingly now say yes and am ready to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.